Hello, and welcome to a Search BusinessAnalytics.com podcast on data visualization and big data. This is Craig Stedman, the executive editor of Search Business Analytics, and I'll be talking today with Lee Feinberg, president and founder of DecisionViz, about data visualization do's and don'ts, including in applications involving big data. Lee's company provides consulting services in the areas of business intelligence, analytics, and data visualization. He also speaks frequently at conferences in the U.S. and other countries. Welcome to the virtual podcast studio, Lee, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Craig.
All right. Well, to get started, what are some of the business benefits that companies can get from using data visualization tools and techniques, particularly in big data analytics applications?
Great way to start the conversation. And first, I just want to point out the context of why visualization is so powerful is because, as people, we're really wired to process images much better than the way we've been working, which is just columns and rows of numbers today. And the tools are much different than a lot of what we're used to. A lot of people are working with Excel, or they're having reports delivered from IT. And these new tools are really designed with more the business person in mind as a user. So it's a shift in the thinking. And they're also designed to make it very easy to work with the data, so people don't need to know these very complex programming or things like SQL. So, for example, if you have a question about maybe how your audience responded to a campaign or what they're tweeting about, these tools make it so that the information is almost literally at your fingertips now. Now, outside of the software directly, one of the really big benefits that any company or any people can get is that more people can now work with the data because it's more accessible. And what that drives is now that more people can actually know more about the company. And that's also going to help them make better decisions. But they can also now make more decisions because it's easier to work with information. And you start to think about how making more decisions changes the potential of your business to react more quickly to customer needs and, of course, things like staying ahead of your competition. What also changes is the dynamics about how executives interact with their teams. And I've seen a lot of executives starting to use visualization ahead of their teams as kind of a velvet hammer to encourage them to change their behavior. Because now everyone on the team starts thinking, my boss has this information, I better have it too. And so just in the end, you really think that the impact of visualization starts to be across the organization of an influencer of how people start to learn and work in new ways, not just the direct benefits of the software. So there's a lot of value in there.
Okay, so in a way, it can democratize, I guess, the business intelligence and analytics process if you have more people with access to the data. But on the other hand, in a lot of cases, you say it's kind of a top-down, sort of maybe a top-down democracy or top-down democratization.
It's a way. It goes both ways. It's coming bottom-up and top-down. It's not just bottom-up like it used to be.
So big data analytics obviously is a big trend in the BI and analytics market these days, and obviously it can involve a lot of data and various forms of data, both structured and unstructured types of data, which could result, you know, in some pretty heavy duty visualizations. Is there a difference between, say, you know, mainstream visualizations, you know, sort of static pies and charts or pie charts or processes and advanced data visualization processes? And if so, what's your take on that? How do you differentiate between the two?
Yeah, this is something people are talking about a lot. And in fact, the way we look at it is there's probably more similarities than differences, and it's converging, but I'll talk about them both. Definitely you can see that we're moving away from static reports in things like PowerPoint or other means, and things are becoming much more interactive. Coming out to the web and mobile devices is really going to be much more than normal. And I think you even see technologies coming out like the Leap Interactive, and you just wave your hands in the air and start working with your data. And the quality of the visualizations is also better on both fronts, because the software starts to incorporate best practices right out of the box. So it makes it much easier for the authors to really create the good visuals. And, of course, the cost of the hardware and software is also coming down on both fronts. And you've also got stuff moving into the cloud, which makes everything more accessible as well. So you see that both kinds of visualizations are benefiting from those changes. Now, when you say things like mainstream visualization processes, it makes me think about maybe what a lot of people call operational reporting. So they want to know what's happening with the business, what are my sales, what are my profits, things like that. And advanced data visualization might be more things like tools that are used to directly analyze the data, maybe not predictive analytics, but really being able to get into the data and answer questions more fluidly, kind of exploring what's going on than directly reporting on what's happening in the business. Now, here's why there's more convergence and similarities. If you've got an operational report, at some point someone's going to ask a question that's not in your report, and so you have to now go into the exploratory mode. And the other side of it is if you are doing more of an analysis, eventually you have to present your insights and your recommendations. And that could actually end up leading to creating something that's more of an operational report because you're making business decisions and now you want to track what's happening with those. So what's happening is the tools that are coming out have to try to cover both sides of this story, the operational and the exploratory. So the ones that started to be more around the visual analytics, they're creating their tools to be more able to build dashboards and ongoing reports, and then the dashboard tools are pivoting to make them be more easy to use and be able to be more ad hoc with the data.
Okay. And are there any differences in how BI and analytics teams need to enable and support advanced data visualization processes or users, compared to, say, the more sort of conventional or mainstream visualization?
Yeah, there's one big thing that we're really an advocate of both teams taking training on the visualization software together. Here's why. It's because there is much more commonality, much more independency between these teams now to see how each of them might use the software. And there's a really big benefit when you do that that's beyond just the training and learning how to use the software. What happens is when they're in the room together, they start talking about either new ideas or known issues that have been between the teams, or maybe some things that people haven't even talked about, all come out on the table. And there's so many biases and assumptions and myths about how these teams have worked together over the years that all this stuff is built up. So what I've seen in these sessions is that the visualization software starts to become like a lightning rod, or maybe spotlight. Maybe spotlight's a better word for that, to get the two sides talking in a more open way towards solving some of these issues, rather than a lot of times these days the people are pointing fingers or they're trying to defend their position from a business or an IT perspective. And the great side of this is we all know that the way a lot of work gets done in any company is also about trust and relationships. So you really start to see more of those relationships forming when they're in these kinds of situations together.
All right. And beyond that, what are some of your key best practices for successfully deploying and managing data visualization tools?
Yeah, that's a big issue for everybody as they're starting to make these big investments. And the first thing people usually think about with visualization best practices is something like, how do I pick the right chart? And there's lots of information on the web out there where people can learn about that, see the guidelines. We also like to talk about some other best practices. So, for example, what we see is when you're selecting a tool, you're trying to figure out which direction do we want to go, it's always important to understand the features. People like to go through that. But it's really critical now to understand how the tool will be used in the business. It's not just about, hey, we're able to access the data and generate reports. Also, if you have other tools in place, a lot of companies have other systems that they've been running for years, you really have to be clear now on the role of each tool, because you don't want this to become a battle between different parts of the company trying to say, well, I have my tool, you're not going to take it over. And what I like to say is, look, it's the company's data. You know, you don't own the data, and you don't own the data in IT, and you don't own it in business. So you have to change the perspective around all of this. Another best practice is, of course, getting your data in order. That's something you always have to do. The trick is you can't wait till your data is perfect. Because if you wait for the data to be perfect, well, it probably will never be perfect. So one of the things you have to figure out is how the business team, how to support the business team and let them start working with data while the entire data infrastructure is being built or added to along the way. You kind of think of this as a startup company who builds their product in stages because they want to be able to react to their customers' needs rather than trying to plan out a year or two of development. And I think that's really how companies are going to be working with visualization and data going forward. And then just one more best practice is about interactivity, because you are moving away from these static images. And what's happening is now your visualization products become like a website, because you're usually accessing it through a browser. What's happening, though, is if you use a browser, if you're going to Google, you're going to Facebook, you have an expectation about how you're going to interact in the browser. So it's really important for people who are building these new visualizations to understand some of those fundamentals about browsers and interactivity and what it takes to have a good website, so that when they're building these visualizations, they can really have a great user interface and have, you know, a good feel with the end users.
Okay, and on the flip side, what are some common missteps that companies make that they shouldn't make? And does visualizing pools of big data add any special complications to be aware of?
Yeah. Here's the biggest one. Having a visualization tool doesn't automatically make you a visualization expert. It's not a silver bullet. So what we see a lot happening is the same things that have happened over the last 10 to 15 years with the current set of tools. And this is something that we really work with our clients to make sure they doesn't happen there. Because the tools are so easy to work with now, the risk is that you can create higher volumes of better-looking visuals in less time. But if the visuals really aren't helping you make decisions and drive action, then they're not going to add value, and it can actually be a take away from value if they become a distraction. So that's a really important area to focus on. And that ties into another issue, which is what most companies do is just take the data and make charts, right? And the charts look better than they used to, which is great. There's definitely some incremental value there. But we really have to understand what the context is before you start just creating charts. So we call this moving from being this data-driven to being decision-driven, supported by data. So that's another big issue, is changing your behavior on how you approach the problem. And just kind of going back to a previous point, you know, just because you have the data doesn't mean you should just be producing visualizations with it. And that's happening more, of course, if you have big data, you've got volumes and volumes. So it's very tempting to say, I have all this data, and I want to get it out into the organization. But picture if I just walk into your office with a kind of a wheelbarrow full of information and dump it on your desk. Now you have to sit through all of that and try to make some sense of it, and that's really very difficult. So the big data challenges us more than ever to really understand what's important to the business and then figure out what data we need to support the business in making their decisions. And unfortunately, still today, most people are doing the opposite of that.
All right. Well, this is great. I think we'll end it there for today. Thanks very much for your insight and advice on this topic, Lee.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
And thanks to you for listening in. To learn more about DecisionViz, you can go to www.decisionviz.com. That's Viz, V-I-Z. And for more tips, advice, and analysis on data visualization and other BI and analytics topics, please visit searchbusinessanalytics.com. This is Craig Stedman, signing off for now.